No Commitments by Simon Brett, with Rosemary Leach, Celia Imrie and Angela Thorne. Episode 6, Growing Away.
And you will phone us this evening, Emily. You know, to say how your first day's gone.
There won't be any point in phoning this evening. It'll be after 5 by the time we've unloaded everything. I'm not planning to report back to you every 4 hours during my entire university career.
No, I know that, darling, but I just thought, your first evening. I mean, well, you'd want to know we got back safely from Manchester to Beckenham apart from anything else.
I'm not going to phone you this evening.
Oh, well, of course I can phone you on your mobile.
I'll have it switched off.
Just as well I didn't try to phone my parents the first night I was in Cambridge. Dear, oh dear, did I get rat-arsed that evening. Certainly started my university career in the way I meant to continue.
There's nothing to be proud of about getting drunk, Roger.
No, I agree, but there are times of one's life when it's more acceptable than others.
Really?
Yes, and when you're an undergraduate is one of them. I mean, if university is not an excuse for spending 3 years out of your skull, then what's the point of it?
Well, I thought the point of it was to advance the students' education and get them better qualified.
No, not these days. University is simply there to massage the unemployment figures. 3 years in university is 3 years simply keeping a lot of these kids off the dole.
I think you're out of date, Roger.
No, I'm right. I know what I'm talking about. That's why the government suddenly turned all those technical colleges into so-called universities, to make the unemployment figures look better.
That wasn't this government. It was the Tories.
And are you telling me this lot aren't Tories? New Labour? Ha! You've got a straight choice these days. You can have inefficient Tories or efficient Tories. The efficient Tories just happen to have a large majority in the House of Commons, and they're both exactly the same. If they thought it would help the unemployment figures, either one of them would give primary schools university status.
Oh, Dad.
I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, do you?
What?
Well, you always say you know what you're talking about, but there seems to be very little evidence that it's ever true.
Emily, how dare you be so rude to your father?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Mum. I am old enough to have my own opinions, you know.
Of course. And we've always encouraged you to have your own opinions. But not when they involve disagreeing with your elders and betters.
Oh, you sound like something out of a Victorian novel.
Well, she would.
What?
Your mother would sound like something out of a Victorian novel because her name's Victoria.
I'm sure you must be very excited, Emily.
Not that excited.
Oh, but you must be.
Look, I've got my own emotions. Will you stop bloody inventing ones for me?
Emily.
Steady on, old thing.
Obviously, you're 10.
Oh, you're doing it again.
Look, all I was saying, darling, is that it's very exciting for you, starting out in Manchester, a new life in a new place, and you'll be making lots of new friends, and you don't know who any of them are yet. And that's exciting.
Well, I'm glad you find it so.
And it'll be very strange for you, too. Take quite a lot of adjustment.
Why?
Well, because a lot of the new people you're going to meet will come from the north. You normally listen to while you're driving, Roger?
Yes. Why? Don't you like it?
Not very much, no.
Oh, I'll switch it off then.
Oh, I do hope Emily will be all right.
Of course she will.
There are supposed to be a lot of drugs in Manchester.
A lot of drugs everywhere these days.
Yes, but even more in Manchester. Lots of people from the north.
Well, you can't have everything, can you? These days, even at Oxbridge, they have quite a lot of people from the north.
Yes, everything's changing, isn't it?
And actually, Manchester is in the north, so in a way people from the north do have a right to be there anyway.
I suppose so. Manchester is north, isn't it? I mean, it's not Midlands.
No, I'd say it's north.
Actually, Midlands sounds even worse than north, doesn't it?
Mm.
This is the Midlands we're driving through at the moment, isn't it?
Yes, I'd say it was, definitely.
Let's hope we don't break down.
Mm.
I'm never quite sure where the north begins.
Watford.
Hmm. Yes. But doesn't that ignore the Midlands completely?
Best thing to do with them.
Oh. Still, this is a big day. Emily leaving home.
Hmm.
Then it'll be Harriet next.
And Benji.
Right. You know, I read this article recently.
Where?
Oh, it was in a magazine that just happened to be open at the hairdresser's, and it said that when the children leave home, that's when couples have to take a long, hard look at each other.
Really?
Mm. You know, they have to be dispassionate and ask themselves, am I sure this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with?
Oh, well, at least we don't have any worries on that score.
Don't we, Roger?
Well, I don't think so.
The article said it's no time for pussyfooting. It said, if there are things about your partner that have always annoyed you, it's the time to come clean and say the worst.
Say the worst, eh?
Mm, go on, Roger.
What?
Is there anything about me that's always annoyed you and you've never said anything about?
Well...
come on, say it.
Well, I hope you won't mind, Victoria, but I have always rather hated...
Yes?
In for a penny, in for a pound. I've hated the way you picked the little black and red foil rectangle off Imperial Leather Bath Soap. I always like to leave it on until it sort of washes off naturally, I'm afraid.
Is that it?
Yes. Sorry.
Oh. Well, if that's all, I'll try to leave the little black and red foil rectangle on in future.
Thank you, Victoria. And while it's cards on the table time, you'd better tell me the worst, too.
What?
Tell me if there's any little habit of mine that's been annoying you for years.
Ah. Well, that's rather difficult.
Can't think of anything, eh?
No, it's not that. It's...
Come on, I showed you mine.
Yes. Well, Roger, over the years, I have often wished that you were,
Yeah?
That you were more...
More what?
Interesting.
Oh.
So, how's Emily settling in Manchester? Have you heard?
Well, yes, we have heard.
You don't sound very sure about it.
No, we have heard, but we just haven't heard much.
But she is keeping in touch.
Just, yes. She left it a whole week before she rang us for the first time.
That's a good sign, isn't it, if she's too busy?
But they start off with what they call a freshers' week. So she can't claim pressure of work as an excuse.
Pressure of play, then.
Maybe. Oh, I don't like not knowing who her friends are. She might be mixing with, well, with anyone.
Even people from the north.
You never know, do you?
No. I think they're hard to avoid in Manchester.
Exactly. Roger was just saying the same thing. I don't like the idea of any daughter of mine becoming a character from Coronation Street.
I don't think it's mandatory.
And who knows what kind of boy she's meeting.
But the main thing is, when she finally did get through to you, how did Emily sound? Was she cheerful?
Well...
What did she say?
She said she was all right.
Well, that's good. Anything about her course?
She said that was all right.
What about the people, her fellow students?
Oh, they were all right. So were her tutors. In fact, everything was all right.
Well, that's all right, then.
I wonder. Oh, I just sometimes worry that if there was something really worrying Emily, she wouldn't talk to me about it.
She never has done.
What?
I mean, Emily never has been much of a one for talking about things. Tends to play her cards rather close to her chest.
I just feel so helpless not to be able to get in touch with her when I want to. I mean, we gave her that mobile phone. I think it's pretty ungrateful of her never to have it switched on.
I'm sure she's fine.
Oh, I hope so. Have you heard from Charlotte recently?
No, not for a week or two.
Oh, dear.
Why?
She rang me at the weekend. I'm having dinner with her this evening. It's the old pattern emerging.
Which old pattern?
Charlotte goes quiet for a few weeks, then fixes to see me so that she can gloat about it. She'll give me a day or two to tell you about it, and then she'll ring you.
About what?
Her new lover. I bet she's got a new lover.
Oh, maybe. How's your old lover?
I haven't got one.
I meant Roger.
Oh, sorry. I just never really think of him in that light.
Ah. I'm meeting him for lunch at his club tomorrow.
Why?
I don't know. I thought he might have mentioned it to you.
No.
Well, probably wants my advice about something for you.
What for me?
A present, I suppose. He has asked me for advice before about birthday presents for you.
But I just had my birthday.
And did he give you something suitable?
He gave me a new ironing board.
Oh, well, perhaps he's starting his planning early to make sure he gets it right next year.
Hmm. Do you think men can change, Anna?
Not really.
No, I was afraid you'd say that.
Andy, darling, he's just so young,
is he?
Oh, yes. And somehow it couldn't matter less. When we're together, it's like we're exactly the same age.
That must make him feel rather old, mustn't it?
There's no need to be sour about it, Vicky.
I'm not being sour.
Because I'm just so happy that nothing can affect my good humour. It's as if my whole life up till now has been killing time waiting for Serge.
Serge? I thought Serge was a material.
Yeah, maybe. And it's also the name of the most wonderful lover in the world, Serge Malouf. Oh, I could tell you such things about how inventive he is in bed.
I'd rather you didn't. I'm eating.
No, I can really believe in that stuff about vampires.
What?
You know, being rejuvenated by the blood of young virgins.
You're hardly a young virgin, Charlotte.
I mean me.
Are you saying that Serge is a young virgin?
No, it's a metaphor. Serge is, in fact, a young actor, a very successful young television actor. All I meant was that being with someone young makes you feel young.
You don't suck his blood, do you?
Of course not. I'm just saying that rubs off.
Oh, dear. That sounds uncomfortable.
No, his youth rubs off on me. Wasn't it Mae West who said a woman's as young as the man she feels?
No, it was Groucho Marx who said a man's as young as the woman he feels.
Well, it doesn't change my point.
I'd have thought it changed it entirely.
What I'm saying is that a woman takes her sense of youth and vivacity from the youth and vivacity of the man she's with.
Really?
And I'm with Serge.
You sound like an advertisement for washing powder.
Yes, I'm with Serge. And you're with Roger. Aren't you, Vicky?
Yes, well, it is actually something to do with Victoria.
I thought it might be.
It's, well, it's a bit embarrassing in a way.
It's something you need to talk about. I'm sure we know each other well enough not to be embarrassed.
Yes. It's not unacceptable, the Club Claret, is it?
No.
Oh.
Very not unacceptable, or even acceptable.
Mm.
Don't change the subject. What is it, Roger?
Well, the fact is, Victoria has expressed dissatisfaction.
Oh?
With me.
Ah. Yes, she had sort of implied that everything wasn't, But I think one just has to accept that. A lot of couples find that as they grow older, they lose interest in the physical side of their marriages, but that doesn't mean that other aspects...
Anna...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about sex.
Oh, aren't you?
Well, I wouldn't. This is my club.
Yes. Oh, dear. I seem rather to have got the wrong end of the stick.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, no, there's nothing wrong in a bedroom apartment.
Isn't there? I mean, good, good. I'm very glad to hear that. So, in what department is there something wrong?
In the interest department.
The interest department?
Hmm.
You don't mean you're losing interest in Victoria?
Good heavens, no. I adore her.
Do you ever tell her that?
Well, I don't need to. She knows.
Are you sure she does?
Well, of course she does. We've been married nearly 30 years. If that isn't devotion beyond the call of duty, I'd like to know what is.
Yes, it still might not hurt if you tell her occasionally that you adore her.
That'd be ridiculous. We're not that kind of couple. We don't go around saying I love you all the time like something out of the Cosby Show. Some things you can take for granted.
Like your wife.
What?
I think Victoria does sometimes think you take her for granted.
Does she? Why?
Well, possibly because you do.
Oh, I don't think so, no. Victoria doesn't think like that.
Are you sure?
Yes, positive.
So, you said there was a problem in the interest department.
Yes. Victoria actually implied that I wasn't very interesting.
Ah.
Isn't that the oddest thing you ever heard?
Well...
I'd think it was her age, but obviously it's not. You know, she had the hysterectomy, so it can't be that, can it? So I thought I'd ask you, Anna, you know, as someone who's known Victoria all her life, what might have made her say something like that? I mean, some people you can tell they're boring straight away. Social workers, school teachers, local planning officers, people like that. But I'm finance director of a multinational food company.
Yes.
So I can't be boring, can I?
Well, Roger, the fact is that sometimes you do... How shall I put it? You do come across as... Well, I mean, sometimes in a room where there are a lot of people... You might come across as,
Yes.
Possibly not the most interesting person there.
Ah. Well, that's telling it like it is, Anna.
Yes, I'm sorry, but you did sort of ask.
Oh, certainly I did. And I know you should never ask a question if you're afraid of getting the answer. No, thank you, Anna. You've been very fair with me, and I appreciate that.
Yes. Certainly far from unacceptable, this Club Claret.
Don't change the subject, Anna. What you've said has clarified a lot of things in my mind.
Has it?
Yes, it's explained a lot of odd incidents that have happened over the years.
What kind of odd incidents?
Well, like people backing away from me, trying not to get involved in conversations.
Right.
And it does obviously raise one big question, to which perhaps you can give me the answer.
What question is that, Roger?
Anna, how can I make myself more interesting?
Ah.
Bit of a poser, eh?
Well, yes, it is a bit. Maybe you could try reading more books.
Books?
Yes.
Why?
Well, books, you see, are full of interesting things, and so if you read more of them, some of those interesting things might sort of become part of you.
Ah. Of course, I do read books, you know.
But they're all about golf, aren't they?
Yes. But don't you think some of the interesting things in them might sort of become part of me?
Roger, they're about golf.
True. Read more books, eh? Well, it's a bit radical, but I suppose I could give it a go.
Hello?
What's happened?
Emily, darling.
What's happened? Is it Daddy or Harriet or Benji?
Is what Daddy or Harriet or Benji?
Well, I'm assuming there's been an accident.
Accident? Not that I know of, but darling, it is so lovely to hear from you.
Mum, do you deny that you sent a fax to the office of the University Vice-Chancellor saying that it was incredibly important that Emily Franklin rang through to her parents without delay?
No, I don't deny that.
Well, why? I mean, if there hasn't been an accident in the family, or more likely a death, why on earth did you do that?
Well, because I haven't heard from you for at least a week.
At least a week? Mum, are you really telling me that that is the only reason you disrupted the Vice-Chancellor's office and had his secretary combing the pubs and clubs of Manchester to find me so that I would ring you up?
And it has to be said, darling, as a strategy it worked, didn't it?
What do you mean?
Well, you rung me up, haven't you, Emily?
Yes, I have, and now I'm ringing off.
Oh.
Don't worry about it, Anna. I'll sort it out.
Are you sure you're the best person to do that, Charlotte?
Of course I am. I've always had a wonderful touch with young people.
I'm sure you've got a wonderful touch with young people like Serge, but I'm not quite sure it works with Emily.
Oh, yes, it does. I'll build bridges between Emily and Victoria. I'll defuse the situation.
How will you do that?
I'll explain to Emily that she needn't feel guilty about the fact that she finds her parents boring and petty-minded.
Oh?
Because everyone else finds them boring and petty-minded, too.
Do you think that will help?
Of course it will. Oh, this is going to fit in brilliantly.
What is?
Manchester.
Oh?
Serge is doing a telly in Manchester at the moment. He left this morning having spent the night telling me how much he'd miss me, not seeing me for a whole week. He's showing me how much he'd miss me. So if I turn up suddenly in his hotel room, he'll be so surprised. He'll think Christmas and his birthday both arrived at once, won't he?
Will he?
What do you mean?
Well, I've always been rather wary of surprising people. I always favour an exploratory phone call first.
I'm afraid that just sums up the kind of person you are, Anna. Don't take this the wrong way, but you know, you're just as boring and small-minded as Victoria and Roger are.
Ah. You got me slightly confused there, Charlotte.
Why?
I was just trying to work out whether there is a right way of taking what you just said to me.
And like I said to him, no way, mate. It's not that I'm against a quick shag on principle. I've got to fancy the fella vaguely. And Marcus seems to think that because we were both going to have these party tonight, it was a done deal. And I just said, no way. I mean, apart from anything else, Marcus wears white socks, man. So I said, I am sorry. Like, I'm not against charity on principle. But even though you, Marcus, might call a founder compassion in world farming... Right, there's still no way, no way in a million years.
Hello,
Beth. What?
Hello, Emily.
Charlotte.
Great to see you.
But Charlotte, this is the Union Bar.
I know. Amazing what a flutter of the old eyelashes to the guy in the door can achieve. Now, you haven't introduced me to your friends yet.
This is Charlotte, who's my aunt.
Just call me Charlotte. I'm Charlotte Graves, the actress, actually, but I'm in Manchester kind of incognito. I don't want any fuss.
Mrs. Debs, Sheba, Rick, Helen, Mary Jo.
Hello, all of you. Now, can I get anyone a drink? You're still at the drinking stage of the evening, are you? Or have you moved on to the, illegal substances? Because if you're at the point of lighting up a split, just let me know and I'll be right with you. Hello?
Anna, it's me, Roger.
Roger.
I thought I'd let you know I've tried Jane Eyre.
What? Oh, Jane Eyre, the book. Charlotte Bronte.
Right.
And?
Long, isn't it?
No, that was really great, Emily. Good evening. I had so much nonsense to talk about AIDS, didn't you?
Oh, maybe.
I mean, you know, we all got on great together, didn't we? And okay, maybe I was a bit over the average age, but I don't think anyone noticed you.
Well,
look, I feel a bit bad about landing on you for the night.
If there's really no alternative.
I'm sure I won't be the first person to have crashed out on your floor, eh?
It doesn't happen very often.
I'm sure the odd young man has taken advantage of the facilities.
I
particularly with any of the lot you met tonight?
No, they're just friends.
I thought Sheba seemed to be looking at you in a particular way.
Did you?
Mm, so attractive, aren't they? That wonderful dark skin. A bit of an eye-opener for him, I should think. Manchester after India.
Sheba's family have been here for 3 generations.
Yeah. Pity they all had to go.
Well, they were off to a party.
Yes, her bibs, didn't they say? I think we should have gone along too.
I wasn't invited.
But surely we could have gatecrashed it, couldn't we? I didn't think students were that formal about invitations and things.
Didn't you? Look, Charlotte, don't you think you should have another go at the hotel? I thought that was where you were meant to be staying tonight.
Oh, no, sorry.
Here's the mobile.
Thank you. Actually, it's very odd that they wouldn't put me through to Serge's room the other time I called. I'll get him to have a word with the manager about that. I mean, it's dreadful. Oh, good evening. Could I speak to Mr. Malouf, please? Yes, Serge Malouf, that's right. What? Oh, really? Honestly, I just don't know where they get this stuff. Got the wrong end of the stick completely.
Oh, what do they say?
Mr. and Mrs. Malouf have retired to bed for the night and are not taking any call. What nonsense. They got it completely wrong. Serge has never been married.
No.
I'd be so furious when he hears what's happened. We'll have a good laugh about it, I'm sure, but it's not really very funny at the moment.
No. Look, why don't you go round there?
Go to the hotel?
Yeah. I'm sure you'll be able to sort out the confusion if you're on the spot.
I think it'd be simpler if I just crashed out on your floor and sort out everything in the morning.
Actually,
I know it's an awful thing to ask, Emily, but I do have this recurrent problem in my back. Would you mind awfully if I slept on the bed and you crashed out on the floor? Your body's so much suppler than mine is.
No, no, Charlotte, that'll be fine. Let's get out of this lot.
I thought your friends were delightful, Emily.
Good.
Particularly that Sheba. I'm afraid I thought he took quite a shine to me.
Did you?
Yes. Did he say anything to you about me?
Yes, he did, actually.
Oh, really?
Hmm. Sheba said, she's quite a live wire, isn't she, your gran?
What?
And I'm sorry, Emily, love, but it does just sound very funny.
No, you weren't there. It was the most embarrassing evening of my life. And I couldn't even go to Habib's party, which I was really looking forward to.
Well, couldn't you have just gone?
No, Charlotte would have tagged along.
Yes, I'm afraid she probably would. Oh, poor dear Charlotte. Well, you have to feel sorry for her now Serge has gone. Now she knows he was just stringing her along as part of his harem.
No, I'm still too cross to feel sorry for her. Do you know what her visit has made me realise?
What?
Well, that compared to Charlotte, my parents are actually quite civilised.
Oh, then it wasn't a completely wasted exercise, was it?
I read this book recently, Victoria.
Oh? What was it? The Wit and Wisdom of Nick Faldo?
What?
Oh, no, books have to have pages in them, don't they?
Actually, what I read was Jane Eyre.
By Charlotte Bronte?
That's the one. It's very interesting. It's about this woman.
Yes.
She's a penniless orphan. Well, she is at the beginning. But then the interesting thing is she meets this man called Mr. Rochester.
Mm.
Well, in fact, she works for him. She becomes a governess for his daughter. She's called Adele, the daughter, that is.
Yes,
sorry,
I know.
Sorry, I'm jumping the gun a bit. No, no, the interesting thing is that Jane starts off in the care of her aunt, Mrs. Reed, and then she gets sent off to this institution. It's called Lowood Institution. It's quite, and it's quite interesting, this bit, because the woman who runs the place is kind of nice to her, to Jane, that is. She's called Miss Temple. That's the superintendent of the institution, Lowood Institution.
Yes.
And there's this other orphan there, apart from Jane, who's called Helen Burns. But she's got consumption, you know, like
oh,
TB.
Roger,
and of course, no, what's interesting is that in those days, this book's kind of set in the 19th century, incidentally. Well, they didn't have antibiotics. So TB was like, it was like a real killer. Do you know? And anyway, poor old heaven.
No Commitments starred Rosemary Leach as Anna, Celia Imrie as Charlotte, and Angela Thorne as Victoria, with Bill Nighy as Roger and Lisa Coleman as Emily. No Commitments was written by Simon Brett and produced by Maria Esposito.